Welcome to Leverage Masters, airing weekly on Tuesdays at 12 Eastern and on demand on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Leverage Masters hosts Jack Humphrey and Gina Gaudio-Graves discuss leverage strategy with guest leveragists. Be sure to subscribe to Leverage Masters in your favorite podcatcher for great tips and case studies on using leverage to achieve your biggest goals much faster.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Leverage Masters. I am your co-host, Gina Gaudio-Grace, and along with my co-host, Jack Humphrey, we are the co-founders of TheLeveragist.com and Divizio.com. How are you today, Jack?
I am great. I am fasting this morning, and I'm loving it. I'm telling myself convincingly. Are you convinced?
I'm super
loving it. Well, I had my best breathing times, though, this morning with Wim Hof. I almost did 3 minutes a breath hold. So I found that I do that better on an empty stomach. I know. For somebody who was almost a lifetime smoker before I quit years ago, I never really thought I'd have lung capacity like that again, but here I am.
That's really amazing. And we have got a real treat for everybody today. Why don't you tell them who our guest is?
We have Donna Tornillo, who is a spiritual purpose accountability coach, author, speaker, intuitive, and teacher, along with her cherished role of mother and grandmother. Donna's on a mission to help people create clarity in their goals and direction, connection to true purpose, and the courage to move confidently into the future. She uses strategies and coaching, including intuitive tarot and astrology perfected from her youth. When confronted with difficult decisions, Donna, known as the Clarity Creator, is there for you. As a law of attraction coach, she teaches the principles of positive intention, mindset, mindfulness, and meditation to achieve your desired outcomes with feelings of confidence, worth, and empowerment. Donna, welcome to Leverage Masters.
Thank you so much. It is so exciting to be here this morning and or now this afternoon, depending on where you are. So thank you for having me. This is really a great treat.
Well, we'll start you off with, we got a little bit of a taste of who you are and what you do, and we'll dive into that extensively this hour, but we always want to know at the very top of the hour, what is it that's really getting you excited these days? What's the thing you're the most passionate about working with people or anything now?
I am so glad you asked that because I was sharing it just recently because it's so wonderful what you just said about me, and that's really tremendous because it makes me feel so wonderful and valued. But the most passionate thing I am about is now, and it is about people recognizing their own power, that we can make changes within our life, within whatever we choose, if we only understand and realize that we have the power to do that. And that comes with the teachings of being a law of attraction coach, but it's also about our connection to our true purpose. When we really understand, and for all of us, our purpose is joy. That really is what our true purpose is. How we express that joy makes us the individuals that we are. And that's what's the beauty of this world, is that we are not all alike. We express our joy in different ways. And so recognizing the power of joy and how we can affect change and how we can serve others is really where my passion is.
Okay, I'm going to start off with a really hard question. Not for you, but it's a big question that someone like you can answer. Why do we have so much trouble? Why are we born into the physical existence that we are all born into to go and have a lifelong, for many of us, mystery of why we're here and what it means to be happy and why we always have this suspicion in the back of our minds, just always scratching at us, there's something more to be had, that I'm supposed to have a greater purpose or something like that. But there's always something scratching at every single human being from the very beginning, except for those who have figured it out, and I fear that it's too small of the population in this day and age. Why do we have so much trouble with this? Or in other words, why do we need a law of attraction coach? Why do we need coaches to help us find ourselves or whatever the term might be? Why don't we already know who we are when we're born?
Well, we actually do. And the purpose of the law of attraction or any other coach is really to help you remember. When we came into this world, we had an unbelievable, think about it, as a child, did we really worry about the things that happened around us? Our pure joy was to go out there and run and have a good time and be with our friends and think about the joy you had waiting for Christmas or a birthday, or none of it was tainted by the beliefs of the outside world. And then as we grew up, we then are learning that other people have expectations of us, even starting with our parents. And our parents loved us very much, and we love them. But it was operating in that old belief, that old way of this is the way it's supposed to be, and it doesn't have to be that way. So my real purpose is to help people remember that joy, remember that free expression that they had. And really, when you think about it, all of that knowing that everything was going to be okay, knowing that it was all going to be all right, it really always was. And it's how we then learned to live in this physical world that we're in right now. And our childhood, our childish joy, happiness, knowing that an expectation was tainted by just the beliefs people around us. And it wasn't meant to be on purpose. I mean, people didn't think, oh, well, we're going to change this happy little child into something else. It was just the expectations of living in this world that created that. And the very fact that you say you know there's something more is that remembering that we came in this world to know there's always more. There's always something better. And the fact that you can know that makes you connect to that there is. Does that make sense?
It makes me wonder. Yes, it was a beautiful, beautiful answer. It was way better than I even expected. And that's exactly what I wanted to know. And to follow up with that, I want to know just maybe more of a facetious question to follow up with that, since you're game for it, and I know you can do it. Do you think the world would look anything like it does today if we didn't have the programming that we receive that slowly takes us away from our childlike sense of wonder and creativity and passion and free-spiritedness and things, that programming that happens that makes some of us McDonald's employees? We need McDonald's. Right, and the guy who owns McDonald's needs employees, and I highly, highly doubt sometimes that anybody would choose to become a McDonald's employee had they an inkling of an idea of the power of which you speak. Could you talk to that? I mean, what would our society look like if you got what you wanted today? Like, if everybody's lights turned on.
Right, and that I'm so glad you said that. Because think about that. What if we all set the intention that this is a peaceful world? What if we all set the intention that the world that we live in is environmentally sound and healthy? We choose to look at those parts of the world. There's a lot of places and a lot of examples of where it actually is happening. What we hear and it's not just social media, it's news, it's magazines. Think about just an advertisement in a magazine is designed to make you feel less than so that you will buy that product. I mean, that's marketing. That's about, you know, feel the pain so that you will now choose to go in this direction to feel better. That's how we are kind of set up at this point. But what if you came from the premise already that you were okay? What if you came from the premise that you were already whole? Then whatever happens around you is going to be something that you can enjoy and love, and even if it is working at McDonald's. Because for somebody, that may be what they choose to do, and that's what makes them happy. Mm-hmm. It may not, you know, it's not my judgment for someone else to decide what's going to make them happy. They have to do that. But it comes from how we, the joy that we feel inside, how we want to express that, and how we view the world itself as it is. So if we come from already the operational foundation that everything is sound, it does all work out, and maybe it takes a circuitous route to get there, and maybe it creates what we call contrast, which means somebody might call a challenge, which helps us see that there is something more. It helps us expand our boundaries with contrast. We get to see even more of what life has to offer by a roadblock or a contrast, whatever we might call it.
Hmm.
And that lets us see the world in a wholeness that we can't see if we create the blocks in our own mind. So it is about mind over matter. It is about how we view the world and what feeling we want to have. The same thing happens with children. That's why they can attract all that joy that comes to them. It's rare that we see the interaction with children where it's going to be, and I know as a classroom teacher, and I taught elementary school and loved it. I mean, my whole point of being in there was it was a symbiotic relationship with children for them to teach me as well as me to teach them. And the greatest gift that I could give to them was to make them feel whole and loved. And even with those exceptional students that I had a whole classroom of those my last year of teaching, and I knew that the most I could give them was to make them feel confident in who they are and loved, and they excelled on the test at the end of the year beyond our expectations because I gave them the feeling that they could do whatever they wanted, even with some of their limitations they may have had. So it is all about what we see in ourselves and how we expect ourselves to show up in the world.
How long did you teach?
I taught for 25 years. For 18, I was in my 19th year of teaching, and my husband was alive at the time, and so we were like ships passing in the night. So at that point, it was like, okay, my son was graduating from college here in Tallahassee because I live in Tallahassee, and now I lived in Miami previously. And so he said, well, you know, he'd been asking me to take a leave so that we could, you know, have more life together instead of this, you know, ships passing in the night. And so my 2-year leave turned out to be 16. So when he retired, and I supported him in his business and what he did. So when he retired, we moved here to Tallahassee, and I went back to teaching again. And it was exciting to do it after that long a period of time. I love the eagerness of children to learn. I love them in how they express themselves with joy in the world. If they don't, it's because it's something they have learned. So my whole purpose was to help them realize that they are whole and wonderful and loving and can contribute to others and to themselves.
Well, I asked just because I wanted to take you somewhere for a second.
Okay.
And just think,
sure.
How you think about, I mean, after all those kids, my wife is an ex-teacher, and she gets every once in a while a note from a student grown up now in their job and everything, and it never fails to bring her to complete crocodile tears of
mm-hmm.
pride that they would even be thinking of her. I know a teacher who made impacts like you're talking about in kids' lives. I married one, and I can't imagine what it must think back on all of the kids that you've touched, that you've had an impact on, and one of them, just one of them, most certainly must be thinking about you today, gratefully, about how you helped them. I'm always fascinated with teachers and what you must be able to just sit down and meditate on with just total pride, because you deserve to.
Well, thank you. And that's, it is that wonderful joy that just fills my heart when one of my former students, and now I see them, you know, Facebook is amazing. So now that I see them on Facebook and their parents now, and they're raising their children, or I have received comments back from some of my former students saying, I remember how you made me feel, whatever that was. You know, whatever that instance mm-hmm. was, is because the worst thing that you can do to a child is then make them not feel that they have value or worth. And that was really what I love doing, is that, you know, they're all different. So, and it's how they're going to show up is going to be in their own way. So yes, it does. It really makes me happy. It really, really does to know, you know, 'cause you don't always know at the time. You know, when you're in the classroom and, of course, you've got all the things that you have to do as a classroom teacher, you don't know at that time the full impact that you have on students. So, yes, I agree with your wife. Absolutely.
And you're still teaching to this day. I mean, you are a lifelong teacher.
Yes, and it was interesting because when I retired from teaching in 2011, I was thinking, well, now what do I do? You know, now what? Mm-hmm. And that kind of led me to doing what I'm doing today, because I was in that now what phase. My husband had passed away. My son lived in Miami. I'm in Tallahassee. So my pet had passed away. So I was like, okay, I'm here, you know, as a person where I'm not a caregiver to anyone, you know, any longer. So what do I do with myself? How do I do this? So I guess I won't be teaching anymore. And then what I learned was that I repurposed my purpose. Because you're right, Jack, I am a teacher. I will always be a teacher. And that's just who I am. But I didn't understand then that I could repurpose how I taught. It wasn't with children anymore. It was with adults. And it's interesting because after I retired from teaching, I volunteered with the United Way here in Tallahassee to go speak to different businesses and groups during their fundraising. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to have to talk to adults. I mean, I was so comfortable talking to 10-year-olds. It was like, oh, my gosh, how do I do this? And I did it on purpose so that I would gain that confidence to speak to adults, because now I'm going to be in an adult world. And it was interesting because I raised that at one of the companies that I was speaking with, and this one gentleman piped up. He says, oh, don't worry, we're just like fifth graders. It's all okay.
mm-hmm.
So I had a good time.
Well, in many ways, I bet there's a lot of stories you can tell of the similarities between fifth graders and adults some people would be like, oh, I don't think that's very special. You guys needed to grow up a little. Or maybe not. Maybe you wondered at their still childlike sense of wonder when they were in their 40s and marveled at that in a good way. I don't know.
Well, one of the things I learned, and that it was a judgment on my part, and I had to learn to accept it. It was part of my training and learning to do what I do today, because I was so used to working with 10-year-olds and fifth graders. And so I knew that, yes, this was fifth grade behavior. But then when I saw the same behavior in adults, I was probably not as accepting until I recognized that it was how we were trained, what we learned, and we hadn't learned to overcome and love ourselves and who we are and what we do and be confident in what we do. So those other childlike, if you will, but 10-year-old behaviors or whatever level you want to use still showed up because we hadn't crossed into that confident power that we have. It wasn't recognized. And so that really helped. That was really a good lesson for me. It was really for me to help know that, oh, okay, so this is how this is happening. This is what's important. And this is how I proceeded then for the future to do that.
Do you think that there are some mistakes we might look back on as the human race that the way that we envision growing up like growing up means. Now, I know when you grow up and then you have kids and you're responsible and you have to, even if it's back in, you know, when we discovered fire, life is really rough when you're that caregiver. And it might turn you into somewhat of a brooding type of person when you're protecting your kids from mastodons and you're trying to go out and get food and all of that. I mean, we've been growing up into adult humans for quite some time. And I sometimes question, is this the way that we're supposed to grow up? Or did we all just collectively start to choose that? Or did life wear us down with mastodons chasing us and things to just grow up the way that we do? We don't sit and laugh with kids as much as it feels like we should. And sometimes I feel like in classroom situations, the chair should be around the, you know, we should be learning from the kids a lot more. Like, you guys tell us, you just came from someplace magical. Can you tell us anything about it? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. Do you feel like we've made a decision or was it foisted on us? Did we just grow into a container of what it means to adult?
Well, that's a good point, Jack. I really like that point, because what it comes down to is we all have a choice. And we start our life in what we know. But once we learn more, we still have a choice. That's many times that lack of choice, or recognizing that we have choice, or taking that step to go in a different direction, comes from fear. And, we're in an election year, and just locally I watch the ads on TV, and it doesn't matter who, you know, I'm not going to advocate any particular person or party or anything, but just in general, just watching it, and it's all based on fear. And mm-hmm. there, you know, that whole, that we, with that fear base, that's why I created that meditation, and it's free on my website, which is a meditation to release fear and move confidently into the future. Once we can understand that. Okay, wait, let me just turn this off. I'm getting a double. I was getting, hearing myself. I apologize.
I'm hearing
sorry,
you
I
again.
Guess, yes, I know. I had the, I had your site opened on my computer, and then all of a sudden I started hearing me. So I was like, wait,
yeah.
Turn that off. It was distracting. Have you ever been on a phone call where you heard your echo as you were trying to talk?
Oh,
that's what that was feeling like. So,
well, I have to turn the computer down, because if I don't, it comes through mine, and it's really, yes, very distracting.
Yes. So obviously that was, I don't believe that there are accidents in life. I feel that there's always something for us to learn from. So isn't that interesting that happened with the question that you asked? So it's about repeating ourselves, following the same pattern. So if we choose to do that, then we end up with the same thing. If we make the choice of doing something differently to see what that outcome will present, even closer to who we want to be, then the only way that we can do that is taking that step out of our comfort zone and taking that step across fear. I have had my fearful moments. My story can bring up all sorts of fearful times. And one of the things that I learned was that I had to have a conversation with fear. If it was worrying about money at any particular time, which all of us have had, if not now, at some point in our lives. And so I looked at fear, and I sat down, and it was actually in a meditation, because I believe that we can have purposeful meditations where we're solving or resolving something, or we can also just listen to what the divine has to give us. But in this meditation, I looked at fear and I said, so why are you here? And, you know, having this conversation with fear, well, I'm here because I don't think that you can pay your bills or whatever it happens to be. I'm just throwing this out here, or pay your mortgage or whatever. And so I said, really? Is that true? Yes, it is. Well, let's take a look at that. So I have this money that comes in, and I have this money that comes in, and so I can pay that bill. So then you're worried about having food on the table. Take a look at this. This money is coming in today, and this is where I can buy food today. Oh, okay. So then, you know, with resolving it and having this conversation with fear, whether it's about meeting a person that is uncomfortable for you at the workplace, having that conversation to create a positive space that everything is okay really helped me a lot through all the times that I did become fearful. And I lived in fear for a lot of times. I mean, there was one point in my life I didn't know if I was going to be out on the street with nothing. I mean, that was, but I had to do the one thing that, along with finding joy, is that I had to trust. And in trusting myself, trusting the divine, trusting that I can view myself as the divine sees me, as the universe sees me, as being that spiritual being that can accomplish anything. Once I could do that, and that was hard. I have, you know, Jack, that was not easy looking at myself that way. Because, yeah. I mean, I wasn't supposed to do that. We were never taught to do that. Because we were separated. We're always separate from the universe or separated from the divine. You know, we're here just these little, you know, physical beings, and then we have the divine on the other side. And once I then understood that I was part of that, then how do I view myself? As the physical being that can't accomplish anything or is living in fear, or viewing myself as the divine sees me? And that's, I think that connection also helped me to understand how I use tarot with making that connection as well. Does that make sense? I mean,
Yeah, it does. And I also think it probably sounds a little like you're sort of a superhero to other people. And going back to where you started here was the political ads. And it's not about the politics of it. It's about something I think is a lot more cynical on the part of humanity. We've really, really figured out what moves us and gets our attention faster and more reliably than anything else. And it is fear. It's that mm-hmm. part of the brain that everybody talks about, that we don't run from tigers anymore, but we still have a very active part of the brain that protected us in those times, for a really good reason. And it seems like if you figure that out, you can look at, like you did this morning, the political ads and be completely unswayed by them. Maybe a little sad that you know that they're working on other people, though. And mm-hmm. because you broke through, you sat down and had a conversation with fear, and you do that a lot, and you have to always go back and check yourself and repeat, like you said. And sometimes it's like, okay, well, I get this, you get this, and almost everybody that ever comes on the show are people who get it and have their own lives. They've chosen to have something people seem to be scared to death to do, and that is a direct experience with this existence, with just them in the room. We seem to have put it all on, we've created these tools to go in the other direction, like social media and the news that is just all politics now. Remember the news used to say like weather? Mm-hmm. it used to have like all kinds of stuff. Now it's just 24/7 politics, all based around fear, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like we doubled down on that. So it's not easy for a person who's trying to, however you want to phrase it, wake up or become enlightened or get more in touch with their spiritual side, because we have created tools that stack the deck against us everywhere we go. And it made everybody afraid to have a direct experience like you're talking about. That's scary as crap. That's why I can't get people to meditate, because I'm asking them to do one thing in their day that they haven't outsourced to everybody else, and it's to look at yourself, with yourself, by yourself, and be quiet with yourself. And when people say they can't meditate, I figured this out. It's not that they can't meditate. It's they can't be alone with themselves. And the distractions and everything that's pulling at them and all the little things that are going off on their phone that they've outsourced their news gathering to, that they've outsourced their friend connections with and everything else, that's all pulling at them. And they're like, I can't concentrate. I can't, I can't meditate is what they say, and it took me years to figure out what they were really saying. How do we live in that? So how do we help people when they have so many other things, very powerful tools pulling at their attention, pulling them away from hearing really what you're saying when you're saying having a conversation with fear?
Well, it's interesting because that you mentioned meditation, because that is becoming very mainstream. Meditation, mindfulness is even part of the workplace. Companies have realized that involving this process in and allowing for this process to occur, and even encouraging it, even having the opportunity to teach their employees how to meditate, has increased productivity, because productivity is yes, it's part of the business world, but let's face it, let's you know, drill it down to what that means. If I can do something that I feel good about, I feel good about myself. Productivity, being able to make someone else feel better or produce a product that's meaningful, whatever it happens to be, excelling and feeling good about yourself is part of that. And meditation encourages that because it removes stress. It removes worry. When you take that away, you're open and to creativity rather than fear. And so I totally agree with you on meditation, because I even offer that on my website, a personal meditation for people, depending upon what their desire is, whether it's about fear, whether it's about clarity, productivity, whether it's about doing their job without concern, whatever it happens to be, you know, finding more love, how do you attract that? Those types of just short personalized meditations are important, because it's almost like a mantra, and it is in many ways like a mantra. And so it's saying that, because I was trained in transcendental meditation, and that's what I use. So I have a mantra that was given to me to do that. But all of that reflects back on the inside. And that's the most important part, because the trust comes that we can make our own decision. Even in what I do, because I think tarot brings tremendous clarity. It's amazing. And in fact, Thursday night I do a Zoom call that is just a one-card reading for anyone that wants to sign up for that. They can just message me on my website, theclaritycreator.com. I'll send them the Zoom link. It's amazing how one card can give clarity. In fact, we can do that here towards the end of our session if you'd like. I'm happy to do that.
And oh, absolutely. Heck yeah, I'm not going to say no to that.
Right? Okay. So it's about, and that's where the real trust comes in. Because what I say to my clients, whoever I work with, whether it's a reading or a coaching or having them having their personal meditation, whatever that happens to be, I let them know up front that the one thing we all came into this world with was free will. That means the freedom to make the choices on our own. So even if I say something to them that is my intuitive response to a card, if they don't feel comfortable with it, they shouldn't follow it. If they feel comfortable with it, then, you know, go with it. But that's also with the coaching clients that I work with, that's how we create the plan, because it's about where do I want to take my life, where do I want to change it, and how do I get there? But it's all based on do you, meaning I, see, each individual feels comfortable with this. Is somebody telling you to do it, or is this something that truly in your heart you want to do? And that's the most important part, because social media has brought us to the point of listening to the outside more than the inside. And, you know, let's face it, Facebook creates these beautiful lives, and that's, it's not true. You know, people are going to post all the wonderful things on Facebook, but you don't hear or see any of the other pain that may be happening behind the scenes. And so we think everybody has a wonderful life, but I don't. But that's not true. Mm-hmm. We all do have a wonderful life with that choice that we make.
Instagram perfected it. I can find people on Facebook who will allow themselves to be vulnerable and talk about having a bad day, but you will never, ever I haven't. And I've pretty well curated my experience over at Instagram. I didn't want to make the same mistake that I made on Facebook. So I'm not – sorry, everybody. I'm not friends with a lot of you because I wanted to go have a new experience. I wanted to go get in touch with – I did not want to bring my circle from Facebook over. But Instagram, I have to be in the right frame of mind before I tap on that little icon. And what I mean by that is I don't want to go watch a bunch of perfect life stuff at certain times. I'm just being ornery. I'm just having a little bit of a contrasty day, and I don't want to go and watch somebody's perfect abs at my age, but they've done better with dieting and everything else, and they're climbing a mountain, and you know, because that's all it is. Nobody ever talks about problems. And I think a lot of people recognize that, and then when you're in the right frame of mind, or when I am, I look at it as a vision board. I'm like, I'm so glad you're on that trip. I'm so glad you're enjoying yourself on the beach.
Good.
And I really, truly am. And I'm using that as a picture of to remind myself of why I'm working hard right now and I'm not on a beach. And I, you know, and but I have to be in the right frame of mind. Otherwise, Instagram to me can be really depressing because it is that fake perfect life stuff.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the one thing that I learned is that whatever comes into my life, it's because I appreciate it for others as well. And so when I look at someone, you know, climbing Mount Everest or being outside the Eiffel Tower in Paris, I think, oh, isn't that nice? I'm so happy for them because in sending them the joy and sending them the happiness, it comes back. Giving and receiving, my dear friend Bert Smith Lyon says, giving and receiving are the same energy. And when you think about that, as you offer them the joy of what they're doing and appreciate it for them, it comes back to you. So lots of times, and I understand fully what you're saying, Jack, that, you know, you get on there sometimes and you're in a crotchety mood and you're tired. And you say, I don't want to see this. And it's good. If you're really feeling that way, don't look at it because it only makes you feel worse, not better. But if you can,
yeah,
even at those times, look at it and say, as the vision board, say, I'm so happy you're doing that. That is something that I would like. That would be a beautiful thing to happen, too. So, yes, I understand fully what you're saying. And, again, that giving and receiving really is an important piece in everything that we do today. It's not that hoarding. It's not that I'm going to keep it for myself because I don't want to give it to anyone else. I live in Tallahassee, just a few miles west of me. Was, you know, a lot of the areas have been fully devastated, and people lost their homes, their businesses, and the. I also teach and participate in Zumba along with my ballroom dancing, and so our Zumba class is done at the local church. Well, we're all bringing clothes in there or foodstuffs in. And that sharing, that it gave me the joy of cleaning out my closet, which is one of those jobs that I kept saying, oh, my gosh, I really need to do this. I don't need this anymore. I don't need, you know, it's but who does it, you know? So it gave me the opportunity to wean what I have in my closet, but it also gave me the opportunity then to share it with someone else. So it's a giving and receiving. It's just a cycle that goes. That's, I had to learn that one. And the real example for that for me was accepting a compliment. I always then would, you know, be say, oh, no, this is an old dress, or, oh, no, this, you know, we do our own little whatever, sidesteps. Instead
this
of
old
just
thing.
Saying thank you. Yeah, instead of just saying thank you. Because when you do that, you are telling the other person the gift of a compliment that they're giving you is not important. And that's really not true. That is so kind for somebody to say something loving and generous to you. And then if you poo-poo it and say it's not important, you've not allowed them to give you that gift.
Or another way to look at it is you closed an energetic loop. A loop was started. Somebody did something kind, and you don't want to be the person who closes, you know, energy was trying to flow somewhere. And we're always constantly asking for it to flow in our direction in other ways. You'd never want to be the person who does anything to stop the flow of that good energy. And I had to learn that because I never took a compliment well. I thought I was doing everyone a favor or myself or whatever by making a joke into every single time I got complimented. And then I realized I was turning off energy that I so desperately wanted to bring into the world and nurture and
exactly.
and pass on. And I don't want to be that stops all that up.
Oh, I love how you say that, Jack, because that is so right. And that's why giving and receiving are the same energy, because someone's giving you a compliment and you're receiving it gives them a gift as well. So, I mean, it's a beautiful exchange of that positive flow, you know, that just like you described it, it's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And
do you think that, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just thinking about relating it to astrology, too, with how we have to learn. Lots of people get hung up on their astrological chart, and I love doing charts. I mean, I've got mine, and I watch the transits that go through and how it's whatever, but then my choice is whether I am going to accept what is supposed to be coming to me or I change it. But when you think about a chart, it's done at birth. So what if we didn't learn? What if we did not have any areas of growth and we just stayed in that same space that we had from birth? So that has to do with how we learn to expand and grow, and that's what the transiting planets and, you know, our universe, you know, allows us. But just think about that energy not being able to expand or being able to grow. So it's still part of that beautiful energy exchange. And that's one of the things that I love about the tarot and astrology is that it's there, but how do we expand it and make it even better? I do things a little differently, too, with tarot. A lot of tarot card readers do reverse cards, and it's not a bad thing to do reverse cards. It's like bumps in the road or a different way, you know, an opposite perspective, like a yin and yang type thing. And I figure we get enough of those, like we were talking about earlier with media and messages that come to us. So I operate fully in the positive perspective because we can also know we can make a list of our own negatives. But in any of my readings that I do, it's always in the positive sense. So I just drew a card, and if it's okay, Jack, I'd like to just share with you what it is. Because we were talking about this, and this is the Princess of Swords. This is the Illuminati deck. I really love the images on this deck, and it's not your traditional Rider White, but this one is so beautiful because it has swords are the thoughts. Why it's so perfect for today? Because the Princess of Swords is about inspiration and new ideas and innovation, and that's what I viewed your show as, the inspiration and the innovation for new ideas to get out there and be expanding. She's not the queen, so she's not fully in charge, nor the king. What she offers is that inspiration and new beginnings that can keep growing. So, you know, as I was reviewing your site and all the lists of the different subjects that you have had in the past, that is so tremendous to think about. Oh my goodness, these are what you offer so many people, a different perspective of looking at things. And that's what this card to me says, is that this is perfect for what you do because you're inviting inspiration, you're inviting innovation, you're inviting new ideas, and you're inviting new ways of looking at things. And she's a beautiful young lady carrying this gorgeous sword. So imagine yourself that it's just wielding that sword of truth and honesty and ideas that's going through everything that you do.
That sounds fantastic. It's also kind of neat to be the lightning rod for so many people coming on from actually different backgrounds and different industries and different focuses and expertise. After a while, you start to see similarities. And it's really strange because everybody comes on to talk about seemingly different stuff, but we don't. Like, we end up threads that run through every guest. Like, it's just really strange in that, just that lightning rod effect. And then it seems like a really complicated world. Look at all the guests. Look at all the things they do. You know, they must talk about all the things under the sun. And while in one sense we do, we always end up talking about the same kind of things from a certain perspective, that human condition that is a really common thing among us all. And it's just strange that things that seem complicated at first really aren't that.
But think about, this is what you attract. This is who you are.
That too,
and
yeah.
And that is what you're attracting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you do. Now, this is one card. What I normally do with tarot is it's a 14-card reading because I do it within the 12 houses of the zodiac. So a card is pulled for every single area of life, whether it's how you project yourself to the world, money, communication, home, the fun stuff that you love, relationships, business, all, you know, social relationships, all of that is considered and done within the 12 houses of the zodiac. So it's really comprehensive. And then what you do with that is just get a better understanding of your strengths and areas that maybe you might want to look at differently. And so I love doing it. And it always, it's amazing how it always gives people that clarity, you know, because we all have the answers. We really, really do. But they get all muddled in our minds with all the, should I do this or should I do that? What is that? Oh, my goodness, let me go over there. And we get bogged down in all of the possibilities. And so that's what I love about tarot is it gives that clarity. It gives that focus. And it really gives people relief from not knowing what to do. I don't delve into, you know, if you're going to die tomorrow, you'll have cancer. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. And I don't see it in the cards.
Oh, good.
Focusing.
Good. Then
let's do the
health thing then, because I didn't want to get a death card. But if you're not into that, then cool. Let's do the health thing.
Well, that's all part of that 12, that 14-card reading. It's not that I just pull a health card. Although just pulling a card with that intention, you're working on it, as I see it. You have tremendous spirit and inspiration to be healthy. And so you're doing a lot of work because it's the Five of Wands that I pulled. So you're doing a lot of work to make yourself healthier and to feel better. And some of it is a challenge to you to do that.
Yeah.
Even if it's the like you say, you were fasting this morning and learning to breathe. And I understand about that being healthier. I smoked for 20 years, but I quit in 86. And it was, you know, it was hard. It was hard to do, but I'm so glad that I did it. So it's not an easy road for you to become healthy, but you're not giving up. Your purpose and your spirit is fully engaged into making yourself be all that you can be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. And I love that, although I don't love, I wish we would have started at the top of the hour because I already want the whole comprehensive treatment, but I get it. Time is a constraint that we have not learned how to go past. I've been working on that too, but I can't figure out time and how to cheat it. Go ahead.
Okay. I also do what is called a card of the year or a growth card, and it's based on numerology, based on your birthday, and it goes from birthday to birthday, and that's also on my homepage of my website, along with the meditation. So that's a gift from me to any of your listeners that wanted to get that card. It's called the card of the year, and it means giving me your information, which would be your birthday. You don't have to give me the year, but you have to give me the birth date and your email, and then I will send you what that means for you. And it's it's the card of the year. If your birthday is today, it would go from October 23rd to October 23rd of next year. And what it means is it's your growth card, it's your focus card, it's what you're going to be working on this year, what you'll be focused on to move forward. So that's also available. So that's on the clarityinvigorator.com. Okay, good.
Yes, and wherever you're listening to this, either now or in the future, the link is here. Look for it. It should be very obvious below this or above or on the side of this. But wherever you're listening, you can go grab those gifts. And thank you so much for coming and bearing gifts. I love that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I enjoy doing this. As I said, this is my purpose and my passion is to help people recognize how powerful they are. And again, we get beat down with media and messages from around us. It's wonderful. Life is really good.
You know, I was just thinking about tarot and about all the tools that we use, possibly maybe being proxies for what you call the divine a lot today. I
mm-hmm.
call it source a lot. I call it a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
These cards and these, all the things, I used to have a judgment about every one of them, you know, like I used to be scared of Ouija boards because we were supposed to be scared of those things, right? And
mm-hmm.
and that's some form of channeling something not desired or whatever, and you only did it during Halloween time. And then I'd have an opinion on tarot. I'd have an opinion on all kinds of readers and people. And I don't have as much judgment anymore because I kind of maybe figured something out, and you can tell me if I'm even close. It feels like all of the things or any of the things that we use are sort of like proxies for source to come through. Like, for some reason, very few of us can look directly in the eye of the universe and get the answers that we seek. It seems like they come around the corner. They come through things. The delivery mechanism has to be there, or it doesn't come to you at all. Am I on to something? Are these tools all just proxies to get that divine connection coming through?
Well, you're right in using the word tools, because that's how I describe astrology and I describe tarot, that it really is all tools to connect you with source, divine, whatever we want to call it, and you. And so, again, I believe truly in intention, whether it's crystals, whether it happens to be sound, because the sound healing is much more common than it used to be.
Yeah.
Also using crystals in healing. To me, it is, again, as if employing the law of attraction in here, if it is something that helps us to connect and feel better and find ourselves, then it works. If we choose to believe that it's going to work and it's going to be part of our journey, then it's going to work. Now, do I want somebody coming to me every week to rely on me to tell them what to do? Absolutely not. This is a roadmap.
Yeah.
That's all I'm giving people is a roadmap. Yes, my coaching helps guide them in the direction they want to go, but I'm not telling anybody what to do, nor do I want someone relying fully on me. But they are all tools. Yes, some of us need something concrete, you know, a card that you can hold. I mean, that's the same thing with my students. They all learn differently, whether they were auditory or tactile or visual, depending upon what type of learner you are and how you receive information. We're all intuitive. We're all highly intuitive, but we all receive our message differently. So whatever that message is, it can come to us in different ways. So, yeah, it is a tool. You're absolutely right.
I bring it up because I have this fantasy that someday in the past, someone was trying to describe what their religion meant to what a crowd of people. We probably hadn't even come up with the word congregation yet. And they were just being very cerebral, and they were very into it, and they had made some discoveries that they thought, as soon as I tell this to people, they're going to freak out. And yet they had crickets, and the people were looking glossed over, and they were losing the audience. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, what if I do this Blood of Christ thing, and I get this goblet, and I get this piece of bread, and I imagine they all going, and he's telling the same story that he did before when they glossed over, but now there's a tool. Now there's a thing. Mm-hmm. Now there's something to put our focus on. And the whole crowd is like, oh, tell me more. And then things started to happen. Like, stuff started to, you know, people started to get interested. I wonder if mm-hmm. we, maybe one day humanity will branch off in the future and we could rely more on meditation and on our own trusting ourselves and not as much on the cups and things like that. Not that there's, I'm not saying there's like literally anything at all wrong with it, but there is a predilection that anybody can look objectively and see that we have with tools, with things, with and also just things to help us complete the vision of what someone's trying to tell us through that someone's trying to make in our, you know, stead or for themselves or otherwise. But I'm always fascinated with our fascination with tools. Like, it's crazy, well, but it's...
Yeah, and when you think about Christ told stories in parables, and he did that to make it meaningful to the people. It had a much richer, deeper meaning when he spoke about the mustard seed or he spoke about, you know, the fishes. And whatever it happened to be, he had to meet the people where they were. It's when I talk fifth grade.
Yeah.
I couldn't be talking way above their head. They would have been glassy-eyed falling asleep. I had to then sometimes do a song and a dance practically so that their eyes were on me and then use references that were meaningful to them to make them understand the full meaning of something. So it's you have to meet people where they are. Does that not mean they'll never meditate? No, it means that you then follow in steps and increments to get them to that point where they trust themselves. But it's a matter of trust at first that there is something else. There is that message that's coming to them, and maybe this time it's a tool, and maybe another time it's just that moment of inspiration that says, you know, you really should go to the grocery store now, and it is because they're supposed to meet someone that's going to help them, someone that they haven't seen in a long time. Whatever that tool is that we trust, whether it's that moment of inspiration or the tarot card or the mustard seed or whatever it happens to be, it's about getting to that place of trust.
Well, to put a point on it, don't you feel pretty confident at times having a sense for somebody, a sense about them, a sense of without getting out the cards, without doing anything? I mean, you've had intuitive energy hit you really hard without anything coming into play. But did you maybe sometimes think, I'm going to need to use something to get help draw this picture because they're going to think I'm crazy if I just walk up to them and go, don't buy the red car or whatever. You know, I'm just using an example, but whatever your intuition told you, and you knew that without any, you know, props or tools or anything like that.
Well, there's where the trust comes in, because when we first start experiencing and recognizing intuition, we think that somebody's giving, that's our mind going crazy. And we start then, our mental process goes, no, that can't be true because, well, it can't be really this, no, because this is what's really happening, you know, and our mind goes into all that stuff instead of stopping and trusting that message that we just received, that moment of inspiration. So, again, that's where the trust comes in, because it's not just about trusting you, it's about trusting that source, the divine, is giving you that message right now. So, it does happen, but when it first was going on with my old beliefs and old training, it was that can't possibly be. Then I did that with my readings. I would get my intuitive hits on what to say, and I'm thinking, that can't be right. No, I can't say that. Now I've learned I just go into that space, that intuitive space, and just go from there. And people will say, well, remember that card you drew? I said, not really, because I was not there totally. I was in another place.
Yeah. Well, all you listeners have everything within you already, and you could figure this out at some point, whatever you're trying to figure out. You will. You absolutely will. But if you'd like to use a piece of leverage, use Donna and go see her at her site and take her up on her wonderful gifts that she gave us today. And Donna, thank you so much for being here on Leverage Masters.
Thank you,
I think we could go hours and hours longer. I wish we could.
so much. I've truly enjoyed this hour. I can't believe it's already gone already. It was just fantastic. And Gina, thank you also. This was so wonderful. Thank you for this unbelievable experience for me today.
Well, thank you. And I have a feeling we have people that we are friends with in common, like Burge
yes.
Lyons.
Yes, she
so
is. That's
we will
why
definitely
that
have to get back
quote.
Together again.
Yes.
Well, thanks again,
oh, that
Donna.
Would be wonderful.
We'll be back same time, same place for another episode of Leverage Masters. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for another episode of Leverage Masters. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook on our Leverage Black Book page to keep up with the latest. We'll see you next time on Leverage Masters.